Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. CPA Trendlines presents an episode of The Disruptors.
Welcome to Accounting Disruptor Conversation. I'm your host, Liz Farr from CPA Trendlines. My guest today is Peter Margaritis, founder and CEO of The Accidental Accountant and director of the School of Accounting Communication Center at Oklahoma State University. How are you today, Peter?
Well, as they say at Oklahoma State, go Pokes.
Go Pokes.
Okay. That's right. I'm doing great. I'm happy that you invited me to be on this podcast with you.
Oh, great. Well, you know, I met you at a keynote speech at the New Mexico Society of CPAs a number of years ago.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's cool to actually be able to do a podcast with you.
Yes.
Very cool. Okay. Well, accounting talent has been scarce for years. Mm-hmm. COVID and the Great Resignation made it worse. What are your ideas on how to make things better?
Well, my first question is, why is talent scarce? Because we see that prior to COVID, that accounting programs, across the United States were all packed. The pipeline was full. So my thought is it scarce because of the culture of the organization, the culture of the firm? Is it that culture from the 70s and 80s? You know, I still remember when I left Pricewaterhouse, I got my review and wasn't kind of up to the others, but I'm not a 5 out of 5, but the percentage was much lower. And I went into the tax partner and asked him, why? And this is what he said to me, almost verbatim. Pete, you know, when we hired you out of Case Western Reserve, we hired you at a premium. Now, we're going to take that premium and amortize it over the next 3 years to get you in line with everybody else. Okay, so the accounting geek in me went, I'm being amortized. I'm not even a tangible asset. I would have been depreciated. I'm an intangible object. And he saw the look on my face, and he said, well, if you can find another job, pay us more, go look for it. He shouldn't have said that. Because about 3 or 4 months later, I came back and I accepted an offer to go to work for Victoria's Secret Catalog. And he was mad. And I said, don't you remember what you said? He goes, yeah, I didn't think you'd take me up on it. I said, sir, there's a lot of people out there who are just like me and waiting to take you up on that offer to find something else. So I think the culture of the organization, has to change. And part of this culture and its nature is we hire these people who are very smart. Mm-hmm. And we grow them over a period of time. But trust your people. Ask mm-hmm. them what they want. And I know it's what it used to be, well, I'm telling you what we're going to do. But with this generation, all that just tells them that they're going to leave and find something else. And we're not just a number anymore. And people want to be treated well. People want to be respected. People want to be heard. And I think it sounds so simple, but it's so hard to change that culture into a collaborative culture, into an embracing culture versus one of old school public accounting.
It does. And so how do we make that culture shift?
I think part of the culture shift is happening because older partners are retiring. Younger partners are coming in and see the value of these, I'm going to call them power skills, right? We used to call them soft skills. And I used to say, well, they may be called soft skills, but don't you think they're hard to master? We can teach anybody accounting less. They taught me accounting, and I never thought I'd be an accountant. So if I can learn this, anybody can learn accounting. They put their mind to it. The harder part is the ability to communicate within a firm and with our clients. And I just came off a very bad incident with my accounting firm where there was very much a lack of communication with me during the filing season that extended into October, that it was a complete breakdown. And the partner admitted, we've had one partner left, new partner came in, communication broke down across all lines. And you know what? I wanted to fire him immediately. But I said, you know what? No, I'm kind of cut him a little slack and see if they can figure it out going into this next year. But it's a lack of effective communication.
Well, you know, speaking of communication, you know, your work has been focusing on communication for accountants for as long as I've known you and before that.
Right.
How did you get started on that path?
So, good question. So I'm Greek American, so I really should be in a restaurant. And I say that as a joke, but honestly, that's what I went to college. I got a bachelor's in business administration with a concentration in HR. Couldn't find any HR job, so I went back to work in a restaurant. I've been working in restaurants since I was 12 years old. And that was going to be my path. And I grew up in this very gregarious environment that everybody communicated, not well sometimes, but they communicated. And I remember when I accepted the offer at Pricewaterhouse during the recruiting time, everybody was talking, everybody's very nice, a lot of check-in. And then when I came to work, I felt like this, all the air got sucked out of the office and nobody was communicating at all. And they looked at me like I was crazy, rightly so, because that was different. But I didn't understand why we weren't having more better communication with our clients and communicating better with the staff than not really communicating with them. And I don't know how to describe this other than, you know how you want to make someone leave? You tell everybody you want to make them leave and they give them the cold shoulder and they're like And then they get uncomfortable enough until the point that they want to leave, which is ridiculous. Ed Mendelowitz wrote a piece for CPA Trendlines, I don't know, a few years ago, maybe it was prior to the pandemic, going, why do you keep people on through busy season when they're not helping the firm at all? They're kind of like a cancer, but we keep them on because they're still breathing and they can still do the work versus cut them loose, replace them, divvy up the work. But yeah, so it was through that process and period when I saw the lack of communication and my frustration with it, that I started, and also my love for improv, and that's my communication tool, the principles of improvisation, and just found this unique niche in the profession that, you know, most of my work from 2012 through 22 was leadership development type of work, not the technical stuff, which I really enjoy. I like doing the technical, like the intro to accounting courses. Mm-hmm. But the hard ticky-tacky stuff, that's way outside my pay grade. But I love interacting and trying to get CPAs to realize, especially now that technology is doing all the, we're not bean counters anymore. We're communicators, right. We're collaborators, we're advisors. We have to be technically sound to be able to look at the information and go, oh, this looks right. We have to be technically sound to know whatever I put in the tax return, I should be able to look at it. Go, okay, it flowed through well. Okay, that's good. Versus, well, I just dropped it in the tax return. This is what came out. Or just, you know, didn't think about through the, we still have to use our minds and our brains to make sure that the information is sound.
Yeah.
However, what I have learned is all accountants speak a foreign language. And that foreign language is accounting. And I love asking that question because I mean, you speak a foreign language. I get Spanish, Japanese, all this. So let me rephrase it. How do you speak the foreign language of business called accounting? Everybody laughs. I go, so when you say depreciation to a non-accountant, they think that's the value they lose in the car when they drive it off the new car lot. And you're looking at your client going, no, that's a systematic allocation of an asset over time. So once we realize we speak a foreign language, sales, human resources, and everybody outside of our profession, and even recognize that the early birds, the new hires, the 1 to 5 years, they still have the complex knowledge that we have. we still have to be able to translate it to them. Now, I said that to a partner once, because I'm not going to dumb down the information. You're not dumbing it down, sir or ma'am. Right. You're putting it in a context where they can understand. You're dumbing it down in your own mind. You need to change that mindset. So that's kind of how this all came about.
Well, that's a great way to get started. Yeah, and I'm sorry that you endured such pain at PwC. You know, there's almost no Big Four presence in New Mexico, so they weren't even an option when I finished my degree. Now I know that you are director. You just took on a new job as director of the School of Accounting Communication Center at Oklahoma State. Can you tell me a little bit about how that came about and what you're doing there?
Well, Oklahoma State is a client of mine. Was a client, I guess, anymore. They're my employer. And they had bought the book, Taking the Numb Out of Numbers. I done a marketing campaign and sent out, I wanted to get into the university setting. And I sent out 50 books to 50 accounting chairs throughout the country. And they contacted me and asked, we don't need you to speak, but can we put your book into our Masters of Accounting curriculum? Can we buy 50 of them from you? Wow. Okay. Love to. Pandemic hits. And during the pandemic, I did a Q&A with the students at the end of the term, which was a lot of fun. And then 2021, they asked me to come and speak to their Masters of Accounting students, this cohort, when it started in August. And I did it. And the day of the event, they had a video from the dean. And the dean was talking about accounting. And I'm over here inside kind of thinking about my presentation. And I hear accountants need to have effective communication skills. They need to be self-aware. They need to be. And I'm like, what did I just hear? And that's from the dean. And he was talking about Korn Ferry's competency levels. And then the chair of the department addressed the students. And she introduced me to the term power skills. And how effective power skills are. And this is why they brought me in to work with them doing improv to learn how to become better communicators. And then in the fall, I spoke at a conference, the fall conference. I was a keynote and I stayed after and attended a dinner that night. And I had put on an OSU quarter zip sweater after I was done. I took my sport coat off. I kind of fit in and people making a lot of comments about it. And then one of the director of professional development there asked me about the jack. And I said, you know, I used to be in higher education years ago. I don't know. Maybe I might want to get back into it. Her eyes got as wide as saucers, found the chair of the department. In the meantime, I'm talking to the dean of the business school. The chair comes over and looks at the dean, go get a contract. He said he might want to come back. So it was a lot of fun. It was, you know, kind of, you know, made me feel really good. But she contacted me in February asking me if I was serious. And I said, you know what? If this was my university, University of Kentucky, or if this was Case Western Reserve, or even the Ohio State University, I would say no. She goes, really? I said, well, I don't think they get it, but you guys get it. You guys get the fact that we accountants need communication skills. The employers have been asking for years. Academia has not responded, but that's kind of the way things work in academia. And you want to build something that meets what the market has been asking for. And I love being an entrepreneur. Let's do this. And actually, it's a little bit of a process, but we wanted to get an August start. And I learned that I got the job on July 5th.
Wow.
I was here on the last week of July. So within 3 weeks, and I'd kind of been planning this because it seemed like somewhat of a sure thing. And 3 weeks later, I was here on ground looking for a place to live, getting acclimated, starting to get the process moving, and been having a blast.
Well, that's great. I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah, I mean, communication is something that we really need as accountants. You referred to it as the breakdown between you and your CPA for your tax return. Why is it that communication is such an important skill for accountants?
Well, our skill used to be crank out the numbers. And let me tell you how that has evolved. And actually, we should have been better communicators back then. Mm-hmm. But we're always looking for the technical skills. And I agree, we need the technical skills. But I've always felt that when you brought a new hire in, we usually give them like 100% technical skills for the first 5 years. We throw them in a role of manager. They have no training in how to deal with people. And either they leave, it crashes and burns, or maybe they just happen to do well and they're quick learners and pull it off. I've always said we should at least weave in 10% during those first 5 years. So when they get to become a manager, they can have a bigger bounce. They can start building a business, a book of business. And communication is much more than writing, which, we all need to become better writers, and presentation skills, which most accountants really need some training on how to present financial information. Mm-hmm. But it's also about networking. It's also about empathy, about emotional intelligence. It's also about how to negotiate. So there's other schools out there that have similar type of a program, but they're only touching on writing skills and presentation skills. Mm-hmm. We're going deeper than that. And we're trying to find a way. We're discussing ways of how do we award a digital badge if they take a workshop. I just did an active listening workshop last Friday for the master students, and trying to figure out, do we give them a digital badge? Because they were there for about an hour and a half. Pretty much everybody participated. So if we start doing that, then we have to work with the employers. See, if it's on my resume, it's on LinkedIn. I have a client in Cleveland who I was up in end of August doing a presentation. So I met with her before I had my thing the next day. And I said, you've got two resumes. You have one from The Ohio State University and one from Oklahoma State University. They have the same grade point average. Everything is completely identical. But you notice on the Oklahoma State University's resume, this student, this person, this recruit has these digital badges for negotiating, presentation skills, better business writing, emotional intelligence. Who are you going to select? She goes, hands down, Oklahoma State, because always the other OSU doesn't have that yet. So I don't want to get ahead of myself, but if we do this thing right, others will come. Others will figure it out. There's more to it than just getting a PhD in English, critique writing. But what I've heard a lot of is, well, really, we don't need to make sure we're APA citation perfect. We need to make sure that we show a source of what we are doing, but we don't need to write academically. We don't need to write like a dissertation. We need to write like business people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I spend enough time in academia and as a CPA to know that the kinds of writing that you do in academia and the kinds of writing you do as a CPA corresponding with the IRS is really not what you need to connect with the clients and with people. It's a very different thing.
It is a very different thing. But the thing that I'm still trying to get my arms around, we do have a course on interpersonal skills at the university, a 300-level course. We do have a business communication course at a 300-level course. But I hear from the accounting faculty, they're not... That knowledge that they get, they're not using it later. It's like we never had this. We forgot. And we're trying to figure out, why is that? But I'm here to collaborate, not to duplicate. So I'm also trying to use the resources that are already out there and to say, we've got those set in stone. I'm not here to change anything that you guys are doing. but you're setting a foundation. I'm going to build the rest of the house. So,
yeah. Well, I think it's a great plan, and it shows a lot of vision on their side.
I would be remiss. I would be truly remiss if I did not give credit where credit's due. This idea was the brainchild of Dr. Audrey Grameling, who is the former head of the accounting program. This was her idea. She wanted to launch it in 2020. Well, see what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
We launched it this year. And I would not be here doing this if it wasn't for her idea, as well as the Dean Ken Eastman. He had to approve it. And he had to have support around it. So there's a lot of credit to go around, but definitely to Audrey Grameling and Ken Eastman for their support in this program.
That's fantastic. Now, what are some ways that accountants can improve their communication skills?
Have you ever baked a cake, Liz?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of messy when you kind of bake it, right? Flour mm-hmm. here, spilled milk over there, stuff all over if you're wearing an apron. But then when you put it in and you bring it out, it's like, oh, this looks really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Communication is messy, especially written yes. communication. And yeah. the challenges that I'm hearing from employers here in Oklahoma, and I've heard it in Ohio and other places, is that kids come out and they write like they're text messaging. And for those of you who are recently out of school, you need a business writing course, because mm-hmm. that's not the way we communicate. And no. invest in yourself. If your firm doesn't believe that it's important, then you need to invest in yourself, because it's extremely important the way you write and how you write. As well yes. as, I always ask, if you want to become a better presenter, start with Toastmasters.
Mm-hmm.
They'll teach you on how to write a speech, as we used to call it, but they still call it a speech, and they will knock the ums and ahs right out of you by the second time you do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes to your credibility. And, mm-hmm. and take a moment before you send any type of correspondence and read it out loud.
Yeah.
Don't just send. Never really the right thing to do. Oh, no. And invest in some, what's that? Oh, Grammarly, to at yeah. least check your grammar and your spelling and your comma usage and so on and so forth. There's nothing that will slow you down in your career than a poor memo, a poor email, or a poor presentation that you weren't prepared for. So seek out these opportunities. Seek out this type of training. Ask your firm to bring people in who can bring people in who are in the CPA profession, like yourself, myself, Jennifer Elder, Carl Arix, the AICPA has a number of us in their speaking group, and bring us in to help your people become better communicators. And you might want to think about taking it too, if you're a partner. You made mm-hmm. it to a partner, but things are different. Yeah. And we all need to learn how to write better. And I'm not an English major, I'm not a journalism major. I'm just a guy who just had some things he wanted to get out and say. So I put it down on paper, I edit, go through it, and I have other people read it and make suggestions mm-hmm. on it. I get input from others,
yeah.
especially if it's important.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are all really good ideas. And I especially like your recommendation to join Toastmasters. It was about maybe a year ago, I guess. I was invited to join a virtual Toastmasters group. It's was originally out of St. Paul, Minnesota, and now we've got members who are from coast to coast. There's some in California, and there's somebody in New Jersey.
Mm.
And there's another accountant in there who brought me in, was the one that brought me in. And we just have a lot of fun. It's a great organization.
Let me ask this question. The first time you went in, the first time you had to stand up and do a presentation or sit down, however the case may be, virtually, how nervous were you?
You know, the very first time I spoke in that group, they just asked if somebody wanted to give a trigger speech.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, sure, I'll give one. So I hadn't even really thought about it, but I just talked and it was okay. But I do remember a number of years ago, the State Society of CPAs in New Mexico had joined up with a bunch of firms around to do sort of a master class of all the things that a new staff member should know, all the technical stuff. And so I got drafted to give a 4-hour course on compensation. And I didn't really know what to say. It was nerve-wracking. And I never given a talk that long. And the longest I could stretch it out was about 2 hours. We're supposed to go for 4 hours, but that was all I had to say.
So
it was hard.
The hardest thing you did was raise your hand and say, I'll do the trigger speech.
Yeah.
That's the hardest piece of it. It's actually volunteering, putting yourself out there in a very vulnerable spot. And a lot of people have a hard time doing it. And I used to have a really hard time doing that. I was born naturally shy. I still have that shy tendency, but I know how to control it. But most people won't. They're afraid to put themselves out there. But right now we need it more than ever, because that's how we're going to communicate with our clients. And by the way, when you do a presentation, you will make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, you're the only one that knows you made a mistake. Don't focus on the mistakes. Just park it in the back of your mind. Just keep moving forward. Then you can assess it later and then go, okay, I did this, this, and this. Next time you do it, maybe you knock 3 of the 4 off and do a better job. And then a couple other things will pop up. But like I said, 9 times out of 10, you're the only one. And I've seen people present and they forget something. And then they try to go back and then the wheels come off the presentation.
Mm-hmm. I had experiences with that in grad school. Way, way back when I did some graduate work in linguistics and remember trying to give a presentation about, I don't know what it was, something in syntax. And about halfway through, my mind just went blank. And I had no idea what I had just said. I looked down at my little notes, my little outline, and I don't even know where I am. But fortunately, I had a professor who gently reminded me what I had just said and got me back on track.
That's cool. You owe that professor many, many thanks, because that is nerve-wracking. I've learned about myself as I am not a podium speaker. And the year that I was chair of the Ohio Society of CPAs, our big ending year event, our annual members meeting, Clark Price, the CEO at the time, and I were tag teaming on the stage. And they had changed this script, Liz, 30, 40 times within 3 days. So there's no way to even memorize it, whatever. But I knew what I wanted to say. And I remember I was getting ready and I looked down at the piece of paper and it was blank. There were words there, but I did not see them. So I paused. I didn't freak out. Paused. And I took a step outside of the podium Winton kind of stood next to the podium. And out of the corner of my eye, I see the CEO about to lose his noodle. And I just spoke, just what I felt, and covered those pieces. And I've got to get past that because I will have to podium speak sometime. But it's not easy, but you're taking a risk. And a lot of times that risk will pay off. It's our inner critic that tells us not to do it.
Yeah. And we've got to be better at silencing that inner critic.
Yes. My inner critic, I gave it a name. My inner critic's name is Nick. It's Nick. I did call it Polly at one time, but and I was telling my mother about it. Her name was Polly. She didn't like that very much, so I changed his name to Nick. And I've learned how to tell Nick, yeah, you can tell me that now. And I also learned how to tell Nick, go sit in the corner. I got this. You don't have to tell me. Yes, I will probably mess up, but it'll be fine. And that goes with just continually doing it and building up that confidence that you have in order to have your inner critic become a little bit quieter. Mm-hmm. I want that inner critic there. I don't want him to go away because if I'm standing on an airplane getting ready to jump out of it and I don't have a parachute on, I want Nick to scream in my head. You don't have a parachute on. Fall backwards. Don't fall forwards. But outside I think I pretty much got this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah.
Now, it used to be a great accountant, you had to kind of keep the tax law in your head and all the regulations. But now you're saying that we have to be great communicators. And what other skills do accountants need to be successful in the future?
They need to be. We all need to have some training on emotional intelligence. And the thing about that is, a lot of CPAs are not self-aware of how they come across to others. I've had a couple coaching clients this year that I was referred to, and I worked with them, and they were not self-aware. They were brash. They were Sheldon Cooper on the Big Bang Theory squared at times. And it was this one, he's a great guy, manager in a firm, very smart, but his ability to be self-aware of how he's coming across didn't exist. And I know that he's not the only one out there. I know there are a lot of others out there. They're smart, but that's just, your IQ is part of it. But we're trying to develop relationships. We're trying to build a business. Accounting is a business, and we're trying to grow that business. And the more that we can find a way to not be brash, not be bold, not be, sarcastic and just come across gruff, but come across more, how can we help you? I understand. We do this. But a lot of times they go, I. And I go, oh, so you've got an ego problem, you say. I don't have an ego problem, really. How many I's did you just give me? I said, think about how many times you say I. And next time you're about to say I, say we or us. And see, and look at the faces of those folks that you're communicating with, because they're used to you saying I. That probably cringy. Switch to we or us and be more including, and you'll see a change in their way they look at you. And the next time we got on a call, it was, you're right. They sure were. I didn't hear myself before. I didn't realize it before. This is the way I'd always been. And his dad was an accountant, back the old school accountant. And he goes, I just didn't hear myself. And that's how we grow a business. Just become more inclusive, become more self-aware, also be socially aware of others. Read the room. And this guy, he would walk into a partner's office and tell him what he thought that they should be doing. No, I hear what you're trying to do, but you're pushing them in a corner. You're challenging them. Mm-hmm. No, come in, take another approach. Take a more softer one. We have an issue, and this is the issue at hand. How can we as a team solve it? Versus, you know, sometimes I got to be gruff with them. Sometimes I got to play hardball with them. Okay. I'm surprised. You know, I did tell one day, I said, they're paying me to help you. That means a lot if you don't really realize it. They're going out on a limb to see some change in you. If you want to stay with this firm, you better change or you're not going to last to the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Well, I kind of see why. Power skills is a better word for these than soft skills.
Yeah, we've interpersonal skills kind of overused, but they are powerful when used properly, and they are powerful in the wrong hands and used inappropriately.
Oh yes, absolutely. Yeah, we've all seen some of that inappropriate use.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've talked about things that accountants need to start doing differently. What are some things that accountants should stop doing immediately?
That is a good question. Throw away their 10 key. We have Excel. We have artificial intelligence. I get it's there and it's a comfort and I have it. I can do real quick. But what we need to stop doing is looking at those people that we hire and thinking of them as a number or they're just staff. Look at those people who are in the organization who are managers. Look at those people in the organization who are senior managers. One of the challenges that the profession has had and is having is succession planning.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of firms, because of their culture, nobody wants to become a partner. So when the partner wants to retire, got to sell.
Mm-hmm.
That says a lot about that culture. So if you mm-hmm. want, there's a firm in Maryland who worked 5-6 years. One of the financial supporters of the communication center firm in Fort Worth, Texas, they have been working on it for 7 years. And they're trying to create the culture. They're growing organically. They're not buying other firms. They're just growing organically. But they want to keep that. They want to keep their people there. People want to work places that are challenging, that are fun, that are inspiring, but not like working in a salt mine.
Yep. Well.
And
yeah. You know, your characterization of that is exactly why I never became a partner at a CPA firm, at least not the ones I worked at. I just didn't really see that there was a way for me to be happy. You know, I looked at doing that the rest of my life. It was like looking down a long, dark tunnel with no exit.
The other thing I just thought of that they need to do is, I just went blank. Oh, I have to come back to that. I had it. It just left. You can cut this piece out. You can edit this piece out. I had another idea there, but oh, I know what it is. They need to stop thinking that they know what everybody else wants. There's a firm in Massachusetts who I did some work with during the pandemic, and did a series on the gift of giving and receiving feedback. And as I got to know them, we were talking and I said, how are you guys doing during the pandemic? And prior to the pandemic, they were about to expand their office, put a larger real estate footprint out there. And when the pandemic hit, well, they kind of went, okay, maybe we don't need this space. Maybe, you know, we seem to be very, very productive in this remote workforce. I tell you what, let's do. Instead of demanding everybody come back, let's ask them what they want to do. And then we can put some parameters around that. And ultimately, what they wanted, there's a group that wanted to work primarily remotely, come into the office when needed, There was the ones that wanted to work in this hybrid model, and there were ones that wanted to work in an office all the time. And during this, you know, they decided, well, if that's the case, we'll support it, and we just need to reduce our footprint, our real estate footprint, instead of increasing it. They asked mm-hmm. what they wanted. Novel idea, Liz.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I can't tell you how many times I was in group meetings and they announced some big new initiative. And I thought, what a stupid idea. But of course, I couldn't say that.
No, you couldn't.
Could not say that. But I thought, boy, they maybe should have asked about that. You know, what do we think?
Right.
Do clients want this?
Right. Or survey our clients and ask them. But this is done almost every single day in corporate America. This is, mm-hmm. we're going to get together in the C-suite. We're far removed from the business, and we're going to come up with it and la-di-da. And versus getting a representation of all areas of the business, all different levels, putting together a group and find out what is the best way to do this. I don't know. Novel idea, I guess, huh?
It's a tough idea. Tough idea.
Yeah, it's a tough idea for some to swallow.
Mm-hmm. Well, Peter, this has been just perfect. I've had such a great time reconnecting with you and hearing what you've been doing. If listeners want to connect with you, what's the best way to find you?
The best way to find me is when you go to my website, www.peter, last name Margaritis, margaritis.com, all together, there's no dot in between it. You can email me at peter@petermargaritis.com and reference this episode on it. As time goes, going into next year, if you want to learn more about what's going on at the School of Accounting Communication Center at Oklahoma State University, visit the School of Accounting's website. I don't have it off the top of my head, but just Google and even Google School of Accounting Communication Center, Oklahoma State. We're working on the website. We're working on some other things and see what we're doing, because it's going to be really exciting stuff.
Well, thank you so much, and I can't wait to see what you do with that program.
Thanks, Liz, and thank you for having me. This has been an absolute blast.
Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. We hope you'll rate and review us wherever you find your podcasts to help other accountants find our show more easily. For more information, you can go to CPATrendlines.com.